one sefer in Tanakh, but it's divided into Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet. Shmuel Bet is really the reign of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech isn't yet David HaMelech, but I put the source sheet for anybody who would like to use it and move along with me into the chat. What I titled this year is actually inspired by Koheles, which we just read over the last days of Yontif, is Arach HaShemesh, Uva HaShemesh, sunrise and sunset, because, you know, in a very meaningful way, what the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Bet is about is the rise of the son of David after the son of Shaul has set. It's not a linear path, but there's quite a lot to be said for that idea. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Lamed tells us that there's a principle, so to speak, in Judaism, in Malchus Nogas Bechaverta Afilu Kimlonima, that one monarchy does not interfere with another monarchy, even the breadth of a string. That is to say, that David would not be able to ascend to the throne before Shaul was no longer on the scene. So just to review, you know, Shaul and Yonatan met a very grisly end in a war against the Plishtim. And now that Shaul and Yonatan are no longer living, the Malchus of David can emerge. And the story of that emergence is really the story of the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, and it really speaks to David's character. And David's character is a very fine study. It's a very nuanced study, because David is tested in so many different kinds of ways. And his reactions are very often under the most stressful of circumstances, which is always, I think, the greatest test of character. And his reactions are always, I think, broad in nature. What I mean by that is, as we'll see tonight, instead of thinking about things from a pure self-interest, pragmatic point of view, what David seems to do is to approach things from a very broad perspective, is what does this mean for the Jewish people? And as such, we can sort of see in these reactions the seeds of what makes David such not just an appropriate candidate for Malchus, but the paradigmatic king. Just like we talk about Aharon sort of creating not just being the first occupant of the office of Kohen Gadol, but in many ways creating the template of what a Kohen Gadol can be and should be. So David HaMelech plays that role for the monarchy. And so perhaps the greatest and most obvious test of that is, of course, what does one do with the demise of Shaul? Remember, Shaul has been mercilessly pursuing David and trying to kill him for some time, in virtually the last 10 chapters or so of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, of the 31 chapters there. And at a purely human level, you might expect David to rejoice as he receives the news that the one who's been trying to kill him, to end his life, is no longer a threat. I mean, that would, in some sense, only be human. So with that in mind, you know, let's take a look. The Malbim comments, I want to use this as a kind of an introduction. You have it here in the first source. Acharei mot Shaul v'David shav be'es shakashim shoshal Shaul. When the son of Shaul said, Uvnei Yisrael lo atzru koach lifnei ayvehem, and the Jewish people were unable to withstand their enemies, in this case the Plishtim, Zarach Shimsho Shal David Vihu Arba Meos Ish Nitzchu Machane Gadol Vikaved Mo. David and his men had just come back from waging war against Amalek. And that's very significant because we remember that ultimately Shaul lost his legitimate claim to monarchy specifically because he failed to wage a complete and total war against Amalek. And that is a very significant element of the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Bet. Okay, so let's just begin by reviewing the very end of Shmuel Aleph, where we have the death scene of Shaul, the way that it's presented, because it will be very important for us to examine this in light of the story as it is reported by the refugee from the war. So here we have in the second source, if you're following along with my screen share, Vatichbad HaMilchama al Shaul, the war waged very heavily against Shaul. This is the war against the Plishtim. He's on Har Gilboa. Vayimtza'u ha-morim anashim bakashet vayachal ma'od me'ha-morim. Vayomer Shaul enosei chelav shlov charbecha v'dakreni va pen yavo ha-relim ha-ele u'dekaruni v'hit'aleluvi v'lo ava nosei chelav ki arei ma'od. Shaul said to his attendant, I want you to take out your sword and I want you to finish me off, lest these plishtim come along and torment me and torture me. And Shaul's aide-de-camp was afraid to do this. Vayikach Shaul aracherev vayipol aleha. And Shaul takes the sword and he falls on it. Vayarno sechilav kimet Shaul. And the aide-de-camp, the lieutenant, sees that Shaul has died. Vayipol gamhu al charbo, vayamot imo. And he falls on his sword, and he dies along with him. And so we have here the death of Shaul. We have the death of Nosei Chelim. And it would appear that Shaul died at his own hand. Now again, this is a huge discussion in halacha, what the legitimacy of this is, a person taking their own life. But there's plenty to speak about in terms of a person being afraid of torture, etc. But the text of Shmuel Aleph reports to us that Shaul is responsible for his own demise. Now, that's very important because you have here in the box, the first section of Shmuel Bet, we have a very different accounting of what happened. Vahi acharei mot Shaul, after Shaul has died, v'David shav mehakoded Amalek, and David has waged war against Amalek, and he's waged war successfully, and this is certainly the text's way of highlighting the difference between Shaul and David. Shaul has literally died, and David is now successful against Amalek. Vayeshev David b'tziklag yamim shnayim, and David is simply waiting to hear news of the battle against the Plishtim for 2 days. Vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, on the third day, v'hinei yishba min ha-machane me'im Shaul, v'gadav kru'im, and his clothes are torn, v'adama al rosho, and he's clearly in mourning. Vayhi b'vo'ol David, v'yipol arza, v'yishtachu. He comes to David, and he bows down to the ground, and he prostrates himself. Vayomer lo David, emi zetavo, where are you coming from? Vayomer lav, v'machane Yisrael, Nimlatati. I am literally an escapee from the Jewish camp, already implying that things have not gone well if he's saying that he had to run away. So Vayomer Lav David, Mehaya Hadavar Haged Nali. So David said, what happened? Vayomer Asher Nas Ha'am Min Amalchana, Vigam Harbe Nafal Min Ha'am, Vayamutu, Vigam Shaul, Vyehonatan Bino, Meitu. So he gives him, the terrible news that many people fled and there was mass casualties and Shaul and Yehonatan were killed in battle. Vayomer David al anar hamagid lo, eich yadata ki meit Shaul, had he have such specific information, Yehonatan bino. Vayomer hanar hamagid lo, so the nar has a story, nikro nikreti, notice that's always the language associated with Amalek, asher korcha baderech, right? So this Nara Maleki is now using this language. Nekroni kreti bahara gilboa. Vine Shaul nishan al chanito. Vine arecho vale parashim hidbiku. So he has this story. He says Shaul was, leaning over his sword and the plishtim are, coming closer and ever closer. Vayifanaf achara vayireni. Vayikra elai vaumar hineni. So he turns around and he sees me, and he calls me over, and I say, here I am. Well, this is a story. Vayomer li miata, va'omari lav amaleki anochi. I am of Amalek. I am of Amalek. So this is the story that is being recounted. This Na'ar says to Shaul, I am an Amaleki. So Vayomer li, amodna alai, motateni. So Shaul says, kill me. This would be very, if it actually happened, it would be deeply ironic that Shaul would have been killed off by somebody from Amalek. Ki achazani hashavatz, I'm in my death throes. Ki cholod nafshi bi. Ve'amod alav, so this person who's communicating with David, the way that he tells the story, this isn't at all the way that it was presented in Sefer Shmuel, but his story is, ve'amod alav, ve'amotetehu, and I killed him. I killed Shaul. Ki adati ki lo yichya, I knew that he would have died anyway. Acharei, Niflo, Vaikach Hanezer Asher al Rosho, Vetzada Asher al Zroo, Vaviem el Adoni Hena. I brought all of his crowns and his special regal, jewelry that was on his arm, and now I have brought them to my master, signaling, you know, that David will now be the rightful king. David's response is anything but rejoicing in this. Vayachazek David Bivgadav Vayikraim. So David immediately shows signs of avelus. He tears kriya. By the way, this is the source in halacha for tearing kriya in very specific situations. V'gam kol anashim asher ito. And it wasn't just David, but it was also David's men. Now that appears significant because previously David's men had told him that he should be, you know, harsher towards Shaul. But even in this case, they mourn the loss of the king of Israel. Vayispedu, they say, haspedim. Eulogies, vayivku, and they cry, vayatsumu, and they fast, ad ha'arev, al Shaul, al Yehonatan beno, al Am Hashem, ve'al Beis Yisrael, ki naflu becharev. So, you know, we have, a really interesting discrepancy in the story that's being presented by this Na'ar Amaleki, and the way that the text presents the issue at the end of Sefer Shmuel. And it would appear, at face value, that this Na'ar Amaleki is acting opportunistically. He thinks that he will ingratiate himself with David by bringing the royal vestments and by telling David in a somewhat subtle way that he relates to David as the king, and he finished off David's mortal enemy. Now, again, it's framed and ensconced as an act of mercy because Shaul was, you know, going to be tormented. But it would appear that there are opportunistic motivations on behalf of the Na'ar Amaleki. In any event, the Radak is an interesting comment here. In terms of the words that are imputed to Shaul, it doesn't appear that he actually said them, but in the story, ki achazani hashavetz. So the Radak says, it means, you know, literally the death throes. But there's a medrash that the Radak quotes, avon nov ir hakohanim halovshim ktones tashbetz sheharagti. Remember, Shaul's other great sin, besides failing to kill Agag, the king of Amalek, was wiping out the innocent city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. The Kohanim wear a ketonet tashbetz, that's their basic garment. So that expression, ki achazani hashavatz, the Radak says, is already an oblique reference to what it is that is being referred to in this context. That is to say, Shaul's major failure with Nov, Ir, HaKohanim. In any event, the Rambam, as I noted, derives the very important halacha from this scene of David tearing kriya for Shaul and for the Jewish people who were, you know, defeated in battle. So I'll just read that. This is here in the fifth source. Minayin shekorei al rabo kederech shekorei al aviv shenemar v'hu mitzayik avi avi recha v'yisrael ufarashav. So we learn the halacha of tearing kriya for one's rabbi from Elisha. Mikan shechayev lahavdil hasafa, that a person has to tear even through the hem for one's rabbi. Minayin shekorein al hanasi v'alav beisdin. How do we know that we have to tear for the head of the Sanhedrin and for the second in command? Al shmua sheba shenera grov tzibor, or that a majority of the tzibor has been killed. Shenemar Vayachazek David bivgadav, vayikrayim vegam kol anashim asher ito. Vayispedu vayivku vayatsumu ad arev. Al Shaul zanasi, al Yehonatan benoza av beisdin, al am Hashem ve'al beis Yisrael kinafu becharev, zo shmua ra. So in any event, there is halachic significance, according to the Rambam, based on the Gemara, to David's tearing kriya. But not only is there halachic significance, I think we should all agree that there's, as we noted at the beginning, there's great personal significance as well. Because what we see here is that instead of reacting maybe as the Na'ar expected him to react, right? Instead of reacting, you know, by saying, oh, you know, wow, I appreciate, you know, this homage that you're paying to me, you're bringing me the royal vestments. So David doesn't react from, you know, what this means for him personally, that the greatest mortal threat to his being is no longer present, but he reacts from a standpoint of what is good for the Jewish people. And he recognizes that this is a terrible tragedy for the Jewish people because the Jewish leader has been killed and a good number of the Jews themselves. So again, this commends David for Malchus. The very fact that he's able to perceive things not from a parochial or personal point of view, but that his perception of matters is from a national point of view, is something that is extremely critical for anybody who's going to be in a position of leadership. The definition of credible leadership is leadership that has in mind the good and welfare of the populace. The definition of corrupted leadership is leadership that has in mind personal gain. So we have here a test of leadership. David, who's not yet the king, but has been, you know, promised the monarchy by Shmuel, but he hasn't tasted any of it yet. So here's David, who's being given what in a very narrow sense might have been perceived. I think this is the way that the Nara Maleki thought he would take it, as very good news, but he's not approaching it from that point of view. And herein is the first very, very important signal of David's greatness. Next section of the text involves a confrontation. Vayomer David El Hanar, the Bach section, Amagid Lo, after Roman numeral 2. Emi Za'ata, who are you exactly? Vayomer Ben Ish Gera Maleki Anochi, my father was an Amalekite who converted. Vayomer Lav David, Eich Lo Yareta, how were you not afraid? Lishloach Yadcha L'Shachet Et Mashiach Hashem. How are you not afraid to send your arm against the Mashiach Hashem? Vayikra David L'Chad Me'anarim, Vayomer Gash Pegabo, Vayakehu Vayamot. So David says to one of the Na'arim, and he calls him over, and he says, Pegabo, okay, I want you to strike out against this Na'ar Maleki, and he puts him to death. And David comments in the direction of the Na'ar Maleki, Vayomer ilav David, Damcha al Roshecha, Kificha anavecha limor, Anochi motati et Mashiach Hashem. You are responsible for your own death, for you yourself have testified that you have struck your hand out against the Mashiach Hashem, against the Anointed One of Hashem. So this language of Eich Lo Yareta, how did you not have fear of doing this, is deeply reminiscent of a scene, to take us back to Shmuel Aleph, where David says the following. This is the sixth source. Vayomru anshei David elav, Hinei hayom, Asher amar Hashem elecha, Hinei anochi noten et oivcha biyadecha, Ve'asita lo kasher yitav beinecha. Shaul has gone to perform a necessary human act, let's say in the cave, if you recall, and David and his men are hiding there. So Shaul has literally stumbled into a mortally dangerous situation because he's chasing after David to kill David, and he doesn't realize that he's in mortal danger. Vayakum David, And David, at the urging of his men, at that point in time, gets up. And he cuts off the corner of Shaul's garment. Vayach lev Davidoto al asher karat et kanaf asher lishaul. And David's heart literally panged him because he cut Shaul's garment, let alone, you know, harmed Shaul physically. Vayomer lanashav, and David comments to his men, Chalila limei Hashem. God forbid that I should do this. Im eser hadavar hazel adoni l'mashiach Hashem limshoach adibo ki mashiach Hashem hu. For he is the anointed one of Hashem. Vayishasa David et anashav badvarim v'lo nitanam lakum el Shaul. So David at that time remonstrated with his men. He did not permit them to do anything to harm Shaul. V'Shaul kam mehamara v'yilach badarach. Remember, Shaul gets up and, you know, he goes out in peace. So it's not just that David, you know, is, he's preaching, something that he did not act upon. But David experienced this. David had every opportunity to, save himself by killing Shaul when Shaul was most vulnerable. And David experienced a terrible pang of guilt even for cutting the cloak of Shaul. So this is something that is very personal for David. And even when his life was hanging in the balance, and as far as David was concerned, maybe he would never become the king. Maybe Shaul really was going to kill him. Nonetheless, there were certain red lines that David was unwilling to cross. There was a certain code of conduct that David observed. And in that code of conduct that David observed, in that David sees something intolerable and unforgivable on the part of this Nar Amaleki. Again, whether it's true or not, we don't know. It doesn't seem like it's actually a true story, but the very idea, of claiming, to have killed Shaul was something that David couldn't tolerate. Now, David obviously doesn't have the benefit of knowing what we know, from the recounting of the story at the end of Shmuel Aleph, but be that as it may, David says, Damcha b'roshecha. So the Malbim has a very insightful comment about what was going through David's head. If you take a look with me here in the seventh source, so the Malbim says, Damcha roshecha, im nomar shahaya malekim mamish, Ben Noach neharag below hasra, v'nerag afal atrefa, v'nerag v'dayin echad v'edechad, yishlomar shuadin shenerag bodas atzmo, kimo shenerag al pi karov. V'alze amar picha nabecha. So one of the approaches the Malbim says is, if you believe the story, and let's assume for a second that he's actually an Amaleki, so there is a principle in halacha that in the, amongst non-Jews, if you kill somebody who's going to die momentarily anyway, the way that this Amaleki claims to have done, so then one would be liable for capital punishment, and David was acting on that basis. Avim nomar shahaya Yisrael, if you'll say that he's already converted, he really is a member of the Jewish people, nerag midina malchus, kemosha amar, ki pichana v'chalemor, anochi motati et Mashiach adem, Hashem, excuse me, kidei shelo yazidu laharim yad b'melech. So the Malbim says the other possibility is that he was put to death, maybe not on the basis of this halacha that a ben Noach, a non-Jew who kills somebody, even if somebody's going to die, is chayev misa, but because there's a certain brazenness, and it's called, basically a form of moreid b'malchus, somebody who rebels against the king, in this way, there's a kind of a societal mechanism for putting such a person to death, because there's a destabilizing factor in somebody who would either kill the king or even claim to have killed the king. So whatever actually took place, and again, I think the simplest understanding is that here you have this individual who's looking to ingratiate himself with David, and so he's willing to tell a story that is in conflict with what has actually taken place. But be that as it may, what is absolutely clear from this is that David has zero tolerance for anybody striking out against Shaul, and we already saw the roots of that when David even cut the cloak of Shaul, and cutting that cloak was something that David was completely unable to accept or to tolerate. Okay. Now, the last section of the Perek is probably the most famous section, and that has to do with the kina, the dirge that David sings for Shaul and for Yonatan. Vayikonen David et hakina hazot al Shaul ve'al Yehonatan bino. So David says this kina for Shaul and for Yehonatan. Vayomer lelamed b'nei Yehuda kashet inech tuval sefer hayashar. So b'nei Yehuda, this literally means the tribe of Yehuda, must learn now how to use the bow and arrow. This is referenced already in Sefer Hayashar. There's a school of thought, but then the Mefarshim here that say now that Shaul and Yonatan, obviously from the tribe of Binyamin, are no longer in the position of leadership over the Jewish people, so now what David is communicating is that Shevet Yehuda has to be prepared to take a leadership role. And the Radak emphasizes that point. If you take a look here at the eighth source, Vayomer Lelamed Bnei Yehuda Keshet Kodem Shehechel Lekonen Alehem. Before David begins to sing the dirge, Amar Lanashav Al Titiyashu Min HaTova. Do not despair under these conditions. Ve'Al Yirach Levavchem B'Mot Shaul V'Yonatan. Do not allow your hearts to go soft, even at this tragic moment. Ki kesher ha-milchama b'yad b'nei Yehuda v'lahem ya-gvura. Right, that b'nei Yehuda have always been the leaders of the Jewish people, going back, of course, to the Yosef and Binyamin story. V'nei yiktuva b'sefer Yerushalayim hu sefer ha-Torah. It says that already in the Torah that the Shevet Yehuda is going to need to be in a leadership position as far as the nation is concerned. So what the Radak is pointing out here is before, you know, David really allows his emotions to express themselves in terms of his personal anguish over the loss of his father-in-law and his brother-in-law, he comments about the need for resolve and national leadership. L'lamed b'nei Yehuda keshes, hinech tuval sefer hayashar. This has always been our destiny. It goes back to the Torah itself. So if the first point that we made tonight is that you see David's credentials for Malchus, in his capacity not to react from a narrow point of view, but in his capacity to react from a far broader point of view in terms of what it means to the Jewish people, here we see a second element in terms of what sets the stage for David to truly become the Melech, is that even in this tragic moment, he's keeping his head about him. And he's saying, now that Shaul and Yonatan have been killed, and now that the Jewish people have suffered a terrible defeat, that imposes additional burden of responsibility on us. L'lamed b'nei Yehuda kashas. We have to be prepared for increased responsibility. And that too, that capacity to even at this moment where David is about to allow his emotions to express themselves, I think we see something of great importance. Of great importance. That David still understands that there's a leadership vacuum. He still understands that that means that somebody is going to have to be prepared to step into that vacuum to defend the Jewish people. And proverbially, that means that his people have to keep their powder dry. And that's a remarkable thing. This isn't, you know, after he's said the dirge. This isn't, you know, after he's had, a week or two to process the information. But in the moment, in the very moment, he recognizes the need for national leadership in a void. And this is, I don't think that's something that's teachable. I don't think this is something that a person can be trained to sense. This is instinctual. And part of David's leadership and his capacity for leadership is what he's about to do is to express true sorrow, to have that emotional range, to express true sorrow as he's about to, but at the same time to compartmentalize that and to begin the kina with the words, Lamed b'nei Yehuda kashas yineich tuva al sefer hayashar, that we can't lose sight of our responsibilities even in our moment of greatest grief. And that too, I believe, strongly recommends David. Now to the dirge. Hatzvi Yisrael abamutecha chalal eich naflu giborim. On the high places, the greatest of our warriors have fallen. Al tagid v'gad al tevasru b'chutzot ha'shkelon pen tismachna b'no plishtim pen talozna b'no harilim. Let this report, it obviously would be, but let this report not be heard in the Plishti cities, in the Plishti lands, lest the daughters of the Plishtim rejoice. Now, of course, this is a very loaded image, because let's not forget, Shaul begins, as we recall, he begins to feel that enmity towards David when the Benot Yisrael give greater credit for military victory to David than they give to Shaul. And what David here again is signaling is no sense of pettiness whatsoever. He doesn't want anybody to rejoice in hearing this information. Hareva gilboa al tal v'al matara lechem ustei trumot kisham nigal magen geborim magen shaul beli mashiach v'shamen. And he says that there should never again be dew or rains on the hare gilboa. Midam chalim echelev giborim keshet yonatan lo nasoga chor v'cherev shaul lo tashuv rekam. Says, you know, it was always the case that Yonatan's bow and arrow, remember Yonatan's bow and arrow, and what an important role that played in the whole story of saving David. Halo achitzim imcha v'hala, we recall, when Yonatan informed David of his need to escape. The keshet Yonatan, the cherev Shaul, they were always so effective. Shaul v'Yonatan anavim v'neimim b'chayihem motam lo nifradu minisharim kalu me'arayot gaveru. Benot Yisrael al Shaul Bechena Hamal Bishchem Shanim Adanim Hamala Adizahav al Levushchen. The daughters of Israel, they should cry for Shaul. He took such good care of you during times of war. He made sure that you were well provided for. So once again, those same Benot Yisrael that somehow Shaul felt slighted by, David reminds them of how good they had it under the leadership of Shaul, what he meant for them. He's going back full circle. David's not reveling in the downfall of Shaul. David's mourning it. And not only is he mourning in a general sense, but in a very specific sense by referring to those same Benot Yisrael who sang for David. And he says, you know, you were busy singing for me, but maybe you didn't appreciate Shaul enough. And his leadership, and the way that he cared for the Jewish people. Hamal bishchem shanim adanim amala di zahav aluvushchen. Eich naflu giborim b'tocha melchama Yehonatan al bamotecha chalal. Tzar li alecha chi Yehonatan na'amta li ma'od niflata v'atcha li me'avat nashim. Eich naflu giborim v'yovdu klei milchama. David concludes by expressing very personal grief for Yehonatan. He says Yehonatan was extremely pleasing to me, and that the ahava that he felt for Yehonatan surpassed ahavat nashim. Now, you know, much has been made of this line. I'll just tell you what I think the significance of this line is in the context of this. In the context of this dirge. So the Mitzudas Tzion comments about the word niflata, inyano davar asher tiksha hasagato vitamua. Okay, it's something that is absolutely bizarre or difficult to comprehend. And I think what David HaMelech is referring to when he says Niflatav Atchalim Yavat Nashim is that there was a Pella, there was a Plia, there was a wondrous aspect of the bond between David and Yonatan. And that wondrous aspect was the fact that from a certain point of view, it wasn't in the self-interest of either of them, right? At some point, David could have said to Yonatan, you know, I appreciate all the help you've been giving me, but in the end of the day, your father is still trying to kill me. And Yonatan could have said at any point, about David, like, you know, I recognize that you're innocent, but, you know, I've got, you know, a career to make for myself, and I want to be, you know, the king. So the ahava of David and Yonatan was really an ahavat pella. There was something wondrous about it. It wasn't, as is often the case, an ahava where there was some kind of a mutual benefit. Eich naflu giborim vayovdu klei milchama. The Metudas David notes, vayovdu klei milchama, this is the 11th source, kehema ki'ilu hayu klei milchamtan yishal Yisrael. David refers to Shaul and Yonatan as effectively the weapons of war of the Jewish people, that, you know, our greatest assets are lost. And this too is a kind of a graciousness, because we know that in terms of pound for pound, there was no greater warrior of the Jewish people than David, but he's prepared to credit, Shaul and Yonatan with that standing and with that title. So just to summarize, you know, we have here this kind of an intervening period. Shaul is no longer living. Vizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh, you know, the son of Shaul has set, and the stage is now ready for David to assert his malchus. But what should that mean? You know, for many in the ancient world, what that would mean is to begin to erase the legacy of those who came before them. What does David do? He cements that legacy with that remarkable kina, Eich naflu giborim. It's still quoted, you know, every time, you know, when Yoni Netanyahu died in Entebbe, Shimon Peres, who was maspid him, you know, quoted this pasuk, Tzar li alecha achi Yonatan. It lives on, you know, in the minds of the Jewish people. So he doesn't try to erase Shaul's legacy, he tries to establish it. He tries to go back to the same Benot Yisrael who maybe privileged David over Shaul and says maybe you didn't appreciate Shaul enough and what he meant and who he was. And that too is a graciousness. And thirdly, Eich naflu giborim vayovdu klei milchama, that as the Jewish people, our greatest weapons, our greatest assets are lost without seeking to cloak himself in glory. That's all in terms of the kina. And then just to review these two other points, and I think that they're so important. David HaMelech does not seek in the moments following Shaul's death to take the crown, to put it on his head, that crown that this individual is presenting to him, fully expecting that David will wish to wear the crown. David will not put that crown on. And his reaction is to strike out against the one who he feels has denigrated what it means to be the leader of the Jewish people. Eich lo yareta. How could you not have been afraid, have trembled at the thought of doing such a thing? Personally, David might have been relieved, but he saw it from a national point of view, and that commends him for leadership. And then that other point that we mentioned, before David gives voice to those emotions, Eich naflu giborim, tzar li alecha achi Yonatan, lamedes b'nei Yehuda kashas haloksuval sefer yashar. The idea that we have to now take additional responsibility for the Jewish people. If Shaul is no longer on the scene, not in a power-seeking kind of a way, but sort of running towards responsibility, this is something that I think that David really manifests. And again, there's simply nothing that reveals character more than how one handles challenging situations. And, you know, it's not as if David is given the luxury of being able to react over the course of a month or 2 months. And I think that this is, you know, very deeply revealing about his character, and something that David, again, really needs to be credited with, reacting on the spot, not in saying, okay, great, Shaul's not going to be harassing anymore, or not in terms of saying, I'm now finally going to be the Melech, but seeing the national tragedy for what it is, cementing the legacy of Shaul and Yonatan in this Kina, and at the same time, protecting the status and the standing of Mashiach Hashem by punishing this Na'ar ben Gera Maleki, and two, acknowledging the responsibility that falls on his shoulders, Lelamed es b'nei Yehuda kashes. Leadership not as self-advancement, but leadership as assumption of responsibility and sharing in the burden of the nation. So God willing, we'll pick it up there next week. We'll take a look at the second chapter of Sefer Shmuel. Wonderful to be back together.